This is Audible.
The Girlfriend's Guide to Pregnancy, written by Vicky Lovine, narrated by Laquita James. Chapter 1. So what makes you think you're pregnant? Quite often, nature provides us with physical clues that make us suspect we are pregnant, even before modern science confirms it. Usually when you find out that you are indeed pregnant, you say to yourself with a sudden awakening, "Oh, so that's why my fill-in symptom, boobs hurt, bladder fails, partner drives me crazy." Especially in retrospect, you will see that there are usually abundant physical changes to inform you in no uncertain terms that you are pregnant. That is why I'm always cynical when I read those stories about unsuspecting women giving birth to babies in airplane bathrooms after 9 months of not knowing they were pregnant. Come on now. Most 8-month-old fetuses kick and tumble so fiercely that you can watch your abdomen go from round to nearly square. And what about that inevitable weight gain? Who are these women trying to kid? Either they are trying for the immaculate conception excuse, or they are just not really paying enough attention to themselves. There are plenty of other changes that, when put together, might lead you to suspect that you are pregnant long before you confirm it with a pregnancy test. What follows is a list of the common early warning signs. Breasts. One of the most common changes in the pregnant woman's body is her breasts. The newly pregnant woman often gets the same puffy breasts that she gets premenstrually. But the consensus among the girlfriends is that these breasts are a lot more sensitive. In fact, taking a shower can be agonizing if you face the stream of water. Sleeping on your stomach becomes unbearable. And if your partner should happen to touch your breasts, you will feel completely justified in hitting him with the bedside lamp. Not only are they sensitive and sore, but they are getting bigger and bigger every day. The good news, especially for those of us who have always secretly longed to be big, busty gals, is that they will continue to grow, and they will eventually stop hurting. In a month or so, you and your guy will have a nice new set of playthings. Peeing. Another symptom that the girlfriends found in early pregnancy was the need to urinate. A lot. You may find yourself getting up 2 or 3 or more times a night to pee, when you used to sleep all night long without even hearing a peep from your bladder. Since fatigue is often another early sign of pregnancy, you will probably learn to loathe all these interruptions of your precious slumber. Some old folk wisdom says that all this getting up and down all night to pee is nature's way of preparing you for early motherhood, when the up and down drill is much the same. I happen to think that this folk wisdom is incorrect, because you will start being able to sleep again later in your pregnancy. And everyone knows a pregnant woman cannot be expected to remember something that she learned 6 months earlier. Heck, she probably can't remember what happened yesterday. All these nighttime trips can indeed be annoying, but it's usually not as bad as it sounds because almost all of us girlfriends discovered that we could get out of bed, walk to the bathroom, pee, wipe, walk back to bed, and crawl in all without opening our eyes one single time. Some of us could even take a drink of water without looking. I, however, was almost always hungry at night, and I frequently ended up in the kitchen after one of my nocturnal pees. If the trip downstairs hadn't awakened me, the refrigerator light was sure to. Exhaustion. The tiredness of a newly pregnant woman is like a heaviness or being on nighttime cold medication permanently. My girlfriend Becky, who sells real estate, was so tired that she fell asleep in the car every single time she went to houses of prospective clients. Fortunately for Becky, she had a partner who did most of the driving. The newly pregnant woman may find herself at work, unable to think of anything but lying down. My girlfriend Rosemary used to lock her office door and nap on her sofa for a few minutes every day. Those of us who are fortunate enough to actually take a nap sleep like the dead, waking up with blanket creases on our faces, red cheeks, and bedhead hair, and usually little more refreshed than we were before. Forget about settling in for a cozy night of watching TiVo'd shows with your honey. You will be snoring before it's time to fast forward through a commercial. This fatigue can also lead to an inability to stay awake long enough to have sex. Please hand this book to your partner right now. Attention, partners of newly pregnant women. Do not take it personally when your mommy-to-be would rather sleep than sleep with you. She really cannot help it. And it is absolutely no reflection of your undeniable attractiveness or how much she loves you. Try again tomorrow morning after she has had some rest. Unless, of course, she has morning sickness too. In which case, try the internet. Just kidding. Crampiness. Phantom menstrual cramps can be another sign of pregnancy. Many girlfriends have never been more certain that their periods were going to start than when they were pregnant. Pregnancy and serious PMS, which is always serious, have several similarities, such as lower back pressure and that slight crampy feeling you get right before your period starts. Since I was always paralyzed with the fear that I might miscarry, which, by the way, I never did, I really hated the feeling that my period might start at any minute. I can't count the number of times I felt a little trickle and dropped everything to fly to the bathroom to see if my period had begun. As you will soon learn, in pregnancy, a lot of trickling is going on as your body goes into overdrive in the vaginal secretion department. With all four of my children, I did experience some bleeding early in the pregnancies. And while this is not particularly common, it may happen to you. A general rule of thumb is that if the blood is brownish, with no clots, and doesn't feel more than one or two sanitary pads, everything is probably all right. If the bleeding is bright red or has clots in it, call your doctor right away. And if there is cramping with the bleeding, call your doctor immediately and ask whether she wants to meet you at her office or the nearest hospital. Believe me, I know how hysterical you can feel if you are pregnant and you find blood in your underwear. But if it makes you feel any better, all four times my bleeding was bright red, but without cramps, and my doctor just let me rest with my feet up for a couple days until it went away. My pregnancies were just fine after that. It is perfectly natural to call your doctor for reassurance, but it's not always a call for alarm. Dizziness. Quite a few of my girlfriends said that they were lightheaded early in their pregnancies. Getting out of bed too quickly could give them tunnel vision and make them see stars. Bending over to tie their shoes could result in having to lie on the floor until the blood returned to their head. A word of caution here. A significant number of women have gotten pregnant after too much to drink, and sometimes pregnancy and a hangover are hard to tell apart. The general rule should be that a hangover that lasts for more than a couple of days could be pregnancy, and it might be a good idea to give up the partying until you know for certain. Even if you aren't pregnant and you have hangovers that last more than a couple of days, it is probably a good idea for you to give up partying anyway. If you are lightheaded, it is usually nothing to worry about, but you could pass out and bonk your head on something. So move slowly and let your blood pressure adjust at its new, slower pace. Nausea. Nausea is the Waterloo for many newly pregnant women, and it can strike at any point in the pregnancy, usually at the 2-month point. They either will find themselves eating everything in sight in a desperate attempt to make the queasiness go away, or they will gag at the mere thought of certain foods. You would think that a nauseous woman is a woman who cannot eat a crumb. Not true. Many of my pregnant girlfriends experience starving and vomiting almost simultaneously. Pregnancy can create a gnawing uneasiness in the tummy that is most easily compared to seasickness. And as with seasickness, food is the only thing that can settle your stomach. The catch is that not all food is friendly food. The challenge is in finding just the right foods to soothe the nausea, because you will be amazed at how many of the old favorites, such as cheese, fish, broccoli, or chicken, now make your stomach lurch uncontrollably when you imagine eating them. Some of my more unfortunate girlfriends have had such extreme nausea that they would gag right in the middle of a sentence. My poor girlfriend, Marianne, was so plagued by morning sickness that she would throw up spontaneously. There would be no warning symptoms, such as a wave of nausea or a watering of the mouth. One moment she'd be chatting normally, and the next minute it was the pea soup scene from The Exorcist. She just sat as quietly as possible with her mouth clenched tightly to try to keep the mess to a minimum. Occasionally, a pregnant woman suffers so much from vomiting, a condition called hyperemesis, that she is hospitalized to keep her hydrated and as comfortable as possible. This unfortunate pregnancy side effect isn't usually threatening to the baby, but it can send the mommy right around the bend. As the saying goes, this, too, shall pass. Then again, many other girlfriends have never experienced a gurgle of nausea. This diversity is just another example of how nature gets a kick out of keeping us guessing and never letting us completely relax. There is really no rhyme or reason in this area of food preferences and sensitivities. You might be like my girlfriend Sandra, who, when she was pregnant, craved anything spicy. She would start her days with Mexican food drowning in salsa. By lunchtime, she was begging her friends to go to sushi bars with her so she could nibble on the wasabi, even if she couldn't eat the raw fish. Little microbes might be transmitted from your sushi into your intestines, girlfriends, or your doctor may worry about too much mercury collecting in your body. Just ask your trusted professional for her appraisal of the risk. Or you might be like my girlfriend Shannon, who craved comfort foods such as mashed potatoes, cereals, and white toast. My girlfriend Corky got on a fruit kick and lived for strawberries and nectarines, with a little chocolate thrown in every now and then for variety. Obviously, the goal is to eat some foods from the five major food groups. If not at every meal, then at least once a day. Do not panic, however, if you fail to eat textbook balanced meals every day during your first couple of months of pregnancy. At least one recent study indicated that food aversions are actually nature's way of protecting you from certain risky foods. So, if you'd rather lick dirt than eat broccoli, maybe your body just isn't ready to process that particularly aggressive food. No matter how vehement those other pregnancy books are about you're needing 8 ounces of protein, 4 glasses of milk, and a bushel of green leafy vegetables every day, just do the best you can and keep talking to your doctor. He or she may prescribe vitamin supplements to help carry you through the nauseous period and into the second trimester, when you will be thrilled to eat nearly anything that is placed before you. You may find that a calcium pill is as effective as the glass of milk that makes your eyes water and your throat close down. The bottom line, this early in your suspected pregnancy, is this. If you feel green and you haven't gotten a temperature, it's time for a pregnancy test. Note, if you crave non-food items such as the above-mentioned dirt or paint chips, and some pregnant women do, avoid the urge and call your doctor today. Chapter 2. Sharing the wonderful news. Since the beginning of time, any woman who's gotten pregnant by a man who has a job and is not married to somebody else has been congratulated and showered with best wishes. One would hope that she gets showered with more than just wishes, and I will address a good partner's and a best friend's responsibilities in this area later. The news that you are pregnant is big, each and every time it happens. You know this already by the way you feel when your doctor, nurse practitioner, or any stranger in a white coat comes out of that little lab room with a big smile on his or her face. The general rule is, if this is your first pregnancy, you will tell your baby daddy the glorious news before you tell anyone else, unless you live in Pine Valley and you are awaiting the DNA reports determining paternity. If this is your second or third baby, however, you will inform everyone on your email list by PDA and text message the rest. And if this is your fourth or subsequent pregnancy, well, judging by my own experience, it doesn't even pay to mention it until someone asks. If men and women are really emotional equals, then all prospective fathers would be with the potential mothers, waiting anxiously in the doctor's office for this momentous news. There, they would sit with you, flipping through old copies of Fit Pregnancy or studying the manuals on the human papillomavirus. If this is your first pregnancy, there is a chance that your partner will indeed be there with you to see the nurse and her smile. But if he's not, remember, perfectly good partners, including my own, are not always with their beloveds when they learn they are pregnant. They can still grow up to be wonderful and attentive fathers. Keep this bit of advice in mind. One good kind of daddy is a daddy with a job, and a daddy to be with a job might not be able to get away for an afternoon of sitting in the gynecologist's office. Be pragmatic. A busy man doesn't automatically equal a bad father. Besides, 3 home pregnancy tests that came up undeniably positive may be as much excitement as he can take in a week. Your obstetrician. At the risk of repeating myself, let me assure you that home pregnancy tests, yes, the standard sticks you pee on and wait for a sign in the little window, or a colored tip to appear, or a stork to fly in your chimney, are virtually always correct if the result is positive. In spite of this, most first-timers do not consider themselves officially pregnant until the doctor tells them so. This is why we call to make an appointment for an office test ASAP. Even if you strongly suspect that you are indeed pregnant, the shock of hearing this news from a medical professional can be so stunning that even the most capable and stout-hearted of us can become weak and quite grateful that someone familiar with CPR is in the room with us. Your first response will be the slightly inane question, "Are you sure?" And without a doubt, your next question will be, "When is it due?" Few things are more exciting than watching your doctor or practitioner pull out one of those little cardboard wheels with the numbers to compute your baby's expected arrival. No matter how often your girlfriends advise you not to rely on it too much, you will embrace that date firmly and plan your entire life around it. And when that due date comes and goes with no baby in sight, as it frequently does with women expecting their first babies, you will become a directionless person without the slightest clue how to pass the time until you feel your first labor pain. By the time I was pregnant with my third or fourth babies, I had boxes of those home pregnancy tests in my medicine cabinet. I routinely took them whenever I was tired, bloated, burpy, or just bored. What the heck? I'd already spent the money, just in case. And they were a cinch to use as long as I was careful not to pee on my hand. When I finally got a positive result, I was repeatedly so stunned that I immediately reached for another kit to confirm. Here was one of the few times that a pregnant woman's constant need to urinate came in handy. If the results were unanimous, I'd make a note to call my doctor to let him know that I was pregnant again and arrange to drop by for a visit in a week or two for some information, such as whether there was a heartbeat. They can often see a little flashing beat as early as 6 weeks with ultrasound. And whether it was time to start applying to preschools again. If your mate is in the doctor's office with you when you are given the glorious news, the two of you can rejoice together and cry and bury your heads in each other's shoulder, just as those couples do on the TV commercials for home pregnancy tests or fertility clinics. If your partner can't be there with you, you can spend the next couple of minutes being patted and congratulated by the doctor's staff and figuring out the best way to tell your guy that he is going to be a daddy. Telling daddy. Some of my girlfriends are quite sentimental about how they share this delicious information. Candlelit meals with romantic music in the background are popular in my crowd, as are clever emails, teddy bears waiting at the front door, or going for a walk together as soon as you both get home. But if my husband were to come home to a setup like that, he would think I joined a cult and given all of our money to the Swami. He would be so relieved to hear I was only having a baby that my announcement would be anticlimactic. Having watched far more TV than was good for me, I always imagined telling my husband as we walked hand in hand along the beach at sunset. I returned to him and he would embrace me, and we would look out to the sea as we dreamed of our child's future. Perhaps he would even sing Soliloquy from Carousel. I don't know. Anyway, it never happened. What did happen was usually something like this. I would call him from the doctor's office and hysterically scream at his assistant. What do you mean? Can you take a message? You just tell him to get out of that damn meeting and talk to me right now because I'm pregnant. Progesterone and I don't get along very well. I did try the romantic dinner approach when I learned I was pregnant for the fourth time in 6 years, and he never expressed a desire to have another child after our first was born, and I was desperate. And this is what I learned. When you are telling your partner that he's going to be a father, and you are looking directly into his eyes, it is almost impossible not to start crying before you even get the first word out. No matter how many times it has happened to you, or how comfortable you may be about your new condition, the first couple of times that you say the words, I'm going to have a baby, you can hardly form the words because of how much your chin quivers. Maybe it was my terror that he'd pack up and leave me alone with three babies and another on the way, and two dogs and a pregnant feral cat hiding behind the water heater in the garage that viciously scratched any toddler or gardener or mommy who tried to pull her out. Or maybe it was my mushiness over all things having to do with romance and babies. It was years later that I learned those two things are mutually exclusive, at least for about 5 years. But I'm digressing here. But I nearly choked to death before I could get beyond, honey, guess what? My poor husband imagined all sorts of disasters, such as the dog died or I lost his baseball jacket. Before I finally spit out the words, we're going to have another baby. And when I finally did, his expression seemed to say, you're not going to play the baby card again, are you? As a matter of fact, this last time, I distinctly remember him going on to say, how could you do this to me? I mumbled something to the effect that my elementary understanding of biology indicated that this was something he had done to me. But this wasn't really the time to quibble. In fact, now that I think about it, it may have been the time to take all the sharp flatware and heavy glasses off the table between us. Before I dissolved into a puddle of hurt feelings, I recalled that my girlfriend Mindy's husband had said something equally enthusiastic to her when she had gotten pregnant 6 years before. I believe his exact response was, I'm sorry, but I'm just not ready. As a matter of fact, he wasn't certain if he was ready for most of her pregnancy, and was reading old issues of Road and Track while she was in labor for 40 hours. But the minute their baby girl took her first breath, he became her devoted slave. A father couldn't love his baby more. Keep daddies like these in mind, because they both started out slowly and then became candidates for Father of the Decade. It isn't necessarily wise to take a mate's first response much to heart. Sure, these days guys are theoretically more evolved and more in touch with their nurturing side, but even the guys who claim to feel their biological clocks ticking louder than yours, or who mention in a moment of intimacy that they wish they could nurse a child too, can turn into thick foreheads when told that they have to parent something. In my case, when my loving husband seemed to want to backstroke his way out of daddyhood before it was too late, I chose to keep his lack of enthusiasm filed away for future infliction of guilt. For example, when our youngest baby does something that is so cute and loving that it brings tears to my husband's eyes, I have been known to toss out, "And that is the child you didn't want." Then I run out of the room as fast as I can. When either parent-to-be asks the "are you sure" question, what they are really saying is, "What happens if I change my mind?" Be honest. You must have asked the same thing of yourself at least once. If you didn't, I assure you, you will. Either when your head is in the toilet or you are dry heaving, or 9, 10 months from now, after hours of pushing. A lot of parents of teenagers report asking themselves the same question 15 years after delivery. So give the guy a break. There are too many other female expectations that won't be met during the next 9, 10 months to get bogged down in this one. Things like not wanting to shop for the layette with you, his reluctance to sing to your belly, his unwillingness to spend a few hours each and every day obsessing about baby names, and his refusal to watch educational videos of complete strangers giving birth. It's not that he doesn't want this baby. It's just that he may feel he has been given a life subscription to GRW, guilt, responsibility, and worry. And the lost one to GQ. Guess what? That's exactly what he has been giving. But trust me, it will be worth the price to him most of the time. Even he will admit by the time the baby comes, and for several years thereafter. When my husband told his friend Larry that we were going to have a baby, Larry, the father of 2 grown kids, replied, "Congratulations! It will be the best 12 years of your life." And Larry had boys. But I will leave further discussion of that to the girlfriend's guide to teenagers. In hindsight, I realized that by the 4th pregnancy, there was really no rush to tell my husband that we were still in the gestating business. I could have mentioned it in our Christmas newsletter, or when found out, I could have slapped my head and said, "I thought I told you." Better still, I could have waited for a Saturday morning quickie while the kids watched videos and stuffed Cheerios into their damp little mouths. A good mate can usually get over nearly anything in 6 hours, especially when he's had sex. So I should have packed up the kids and gone to the mall for the rest of the day to let him bask in the afterglow and stunning blow. Then again, it may be you who is backstroking and your mate be the one effervescing with joy and celebration. Even those of us girlfriends who have wanted to have a baby since we got our first Cabbage Patch doll, not to mention those of us who have had aggressive fertility treatments for 3 years before we finally conceived, may feel trapped and caught in the crosshairs of the biological imperative when we finally get what we wish for. At the time, it seemed like the holy grail to get to join the ranks of women who yearn for bugaboos and petunia pickle-bottom diaper bags. But now that we've joined, we notice their cellulite, their own incipient nausea and excess gas. And if Elizabeth Vargas had to quit the evening news to accommodate a difficult pregnancy, you certainly couldn't just assume that you sell right through, gestating while managing a staff of 7 and 2 interns in a 6-figure budget. More than a couple of my girlfriends have kept mum about their pregnancy suspicions, because they wanted to protect their right to change their minds. It wasn't a pro-choice/pro-life debate, but simply the superstitious belief that something isn't true until you say it out loud. To those among us who are reluctant, and let's face it, girlfriends, nearly every one of us will at some point question the wisdom of nature choosing us to be the mommies. The thought of being trapped in this position is as appealing is wearing a thong on a float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Who wants to fake acting appropriately grateful and deliriously happy when she's really terrified? My girlfriend Garbo spent a lot of her pregnancy looking shocked and saying, "This isn't at all like I thought it'd be." No matter what, the discovery that you're pregnant is like falling through the looking glass. It's big. It's unpredictable. It's amazing. And almost any reaction is absolutely perfect. Feeling ecstatic? Rock on, girlfriend. Slow to warm up to the idea. Relax, girlfriend. Because even if it takes you 10 months to warm up to the idea, you eventually experience the greatest love affair of your life. Almost all women in their hormonally stimulated state are deeply disappointed by any reaction other than just the right blend of joy, pride, and adoration from anyone, including themselves. Stay light on your feet, because only Ricky Ricardo took his wife in his arms in front of the whole Tropicana Club and sentimentally sang, "We're having a baby, my baby and me." Far more of my girlfriend's partners have responded with a dumbstruck expression and then the inevitable question, "Are you sure?" Telling girlfriends. After about the age of 21, any woman's announcement that she is pregnant with the child of any man outside of prison or in rehab is met with great glee. We women don't usually respond by worrying if you two can afford it, or if it is too early in your relationship, at least not for long. We just like pregnancy. And rarely do we care about the practical aspects. Those are your fish to fry. Your friends who have never had children will welcome it as an enjoyable diversion, spending the next 9 months watching you get huge. Your friends with kids will be deeply grateful for the opportunity to share with you every detail of their own pregnancies, especially their deliveries. In fact, one feature of the girlfriend's guide that you will come to love is your freedom to shut it when you feel that you've had it up to here with pregnancy. After your girlfriends know that you are pregnant, you will never again have a conversation with them that doesn't include questions about the baby. Some pregnant girlfriends start to feel like a vessel rather than a person because their whole identities seem wrapped up in gestating. Other girlfriends can recount every detail about their pregnancies until the listener wants to shoot herself for asking in the first place. Your empathetic girlfriends will tell you how great you look and how you're hardly putting on any weight. Decide for yourself if you want to believe them. I never did. Telling mothers. Telling your mother that you're pregnant can be much more fun than you might initially imagine. This is especially true if your mother can say your partner's name without spitting on the ground or seeking a restraining order. Astonishingly, the further you proceed in your pregnancy, the more pleasant and reassuring it is to be around the same person who, just months before, inspired you to get caller ID so you could screen your calls. This could be the beginning of a beautiful relationship because it's the official transformation from being mommy's little girl into being another woman almost equally in stature. You, too, are going to be somebody's mother. You might find yourself thinking about the mother you remember from when you were really small, the way she took care of you, and the things she said to you. You are already inclined to be sentimental in your hormone-jostled state, and you may suddenly remember things like the way she used to make a trail of jelly beans from your bedroom door to where your Easter basket was hidden so that you really believed the Easter bunny had been there, or the way that she always bought you an ice cream cone after a dentist visit. And you will sob, a response you will find occurring with much more frequency as the pregnancy progresses. Or something quite the opposite might happen. You might have total recall of every unenlightened move you think your mother ever made raising you. And you could spend your entire pregnancy strategizing how to be as unlike her as possible. Several of my girlfriends got quite panicky at the thought that they were doomed to become their own mother. First of all, remember that there is an element of choice here. You are free to adopt or reject all sorts of models of behavior, including your mother's. Second, and much more valuable, is this advice. Take this time to get to know your mother better, because you will come away with a much more empathetic perception of her. For once in your life, you may understand why she publicly embarrassed you in high school, because she caught you riding on the back of a motorcycle. All you have to do is picture your own baby strapped to the back of a Harley with a 17-year-old at the wheel to understand her hysteria. Unless your mother is Joan Crawford, She will always be interested in your condition and deeply concerned for your well-being. Even if most of her actual advice will sound applicable to birthing in the 21st century. If you think that this is kind of nice, just wait until the baby is born. If you're one of the many lucky ones, you will notice that your mother seems to love your baby as much as you do. And that is the beginning of the biggest bond in the world. Remember, babies' daddies have been known to come and go in our society. But once your mother has that love lock on your kid, she can be a great constant in your child's life. And you will begin to realize that maybe she didn't do as bad a job raising you as you thought. Not as good as the job you're going to do, of course, but not bad. I spend this time talking about mothers for two reasons. First, I want to encourage girlfriends who still have a mother around to take the necessary steps to allow her to share in this pregnancy. Second, for those of you who have lost your mother or who have a relationship far too dysfunctional to repair in 9 months, I want to speak out in honor of the mother-in-law. Remember, it's her baby's baby too, and she might be just the person for you to bond with. Ignore her meddling in what you eat and whether you should be reaching for anything over your head. There was an old wives' tale that when you reach over your head, you wrap the umbilical cord around the baby's neck. Forget about it. Remember, this is a woman who would bite her own arm off to make your little baby more comfortable, or even babysit if begged. Even if she doesn't seem all that crazy about you, she will love her son's baby. And if you are a loving mother to her grandchild, she will probably learn to love you too. Put it this way, if it's ever going to happen, now is the time. The most reassuring feeling for a mother is to know that she can let her guard down for a few hours, knowing that someone else is looking after her child with the same eagle eye and fierce protectiveness that she would. Babysitters are great, but you can never be sure whether in an earthquake they would remember to pick up your precious baby before sprinting out of the house to save their own life. A grandma would not only pick up the baby, she would make sure to grab the baby book and the antique christening dress, even if she had to trample you to do so. I know for certain that if my mother-in-law witnessed any kind of unkindness to my child on the preschool playground, she would either hit the inattentive teacher or burn the whole school down. But of course, she's Sicilian. The girlfriend's advice pertaining to mothers is simple. Let them into this pregnancy. Contrary to all indications, they are not there to judge you or tell you that you are doing wrong in your pregnancy. And if they are, try to overlook it, because that kind of concern and commitment are impossible to find anywhere else. Telling your daddy. Sharing the news with your father can be fun, but it is different from telling your mother. If you and your mate are together when you tell your father, you might feel daddy's eyes come to rest on him, as if to say, okay, you got her into this fix and you better take care of her, I will have to kill you. Most of my girlfriends agree that your dad is happy if you are happy. But that, like most men, he doesn't immediately fall into baby rapture. That happens when the baby actually arrives. Think of it this way. Some people can look at an outfit on a hanger and know just what it will look like on. Other people need to wear the thing for a while before they understand the fit. Same thing with babies. Most men can't imagine fatherhood or grandfatherhood until they are holding the little darlings. You may notice that your father gets nervous if he hears you and your mother talking too much and too graphically about your pregnancy. It is important to remember that it is his job to be suspicious of anything that might hurt you. Remember, this is the guy who wanted to hit a doctor for making you cry when you got stitches. So this alien baby who might be making you vomit uncontrollably, or who might take 14 hours to get out of your body, isn't sending your father into a tizzy of planning and daydreaming as it is you and your mother. One other little thing about telling your father if you are pregnant. This may be the first time in your entire life that you have boldly declared to him that you are no longer a virgin. I don't know about you, but I managed to live for over 30 years without any overt reference to my sex life in front of my father. Sure, he probably had suspicions, especially after I started living with my boyfriend in college, but we could still pretend. There is no skirting the sex issue once you announce that you're going to have a baby. Dad's bound to know how it happened, which may be another reason his glaze shifts so quickly to your partner upon hearing the news. When should you tell? Quite a number of people believe that a newly pregnant woman should not announce her condition until most of the danger of miscarriage has passed, usually about 3 months, In fact, if you're Jewish, there are rules about not bringing any baby clothes or furniture into the house before the baby is born safe and sound, for fear of jinxing it in some way. Being neither Jewish nor particularly reserved in nature, I have consistently told people I was pregnant from the moment I knew. But I must admit, I felt strange about buying baby clothes or toys before the baby was born, as opposed to furniture and supplies, because they seemed so personal. It's simply that I cannot keep a secret of that magnitude. I remember sitting at dinner one night with my girlfriend Patty and a number of other people, blabbing about my new pregnancy with all the self-importance of a woman who had just invented the condition. I so enjoyed the object of everyone's attention, surrounded by so much concern about whether I was eating enough and if my chair was comfortable enough. 2 months later, Patty told me that she had known that night that she was pregnant too, but didn't want to tell anyone at the dinner until she was sure the pregnancy was a keeper. I guess I did feel a little sheepish about glomming all the attention when she was as deserving as I was of tender care and special congratulations. But as my mother says, it pays to advertise. If you don't tell your closest friends that you are pregnant, how else do you explain why you no longer have the energy to lift your gym bag, let alone take a 90-minute pole dance in class? How else do you explain to your gracious host that those capers she so imaginatively tossed into your salad are making your eyes water and your throat spasm? And how else do you excuse yourself to a colleague who has walked into your office and found you asleep with your head on your keyboard? I suppose you could give chronic fatigue syndrome a try. But then how do you explain the newly upholstered look your body has taken on? People give pregnant women wide berth, literally and figuratively, and it is a universally accepted excuse for all kinds of unforgivable behavior. So I would advise invoking it whenever possible. A word of warning, however. This excuse loses its magical effect on your partner within a couple of months, and it has absolutely no power over him by the second pregnancy. Your partner will look up from his football game to notice you moving the sofa across the room by yourself and do nothing, while a stranger who sees that you are pregnant won't let you lift your own grocery bags. Of course, there is a good reason why many women keep their early pregnancy a secret. About 10% of all pregnancies end in miscarriage within the first 12 weeks. If such a disaster happens to you, it will undoubtedly add to your grief to have to recount repeatedly your tragedy. I've seen a few of my most cherished girlfriends beginning to heal from the physical and emotional toll of miscarriage, then having to endure an uninformed person's coming up to them and asking how the baby is doing. It was deeply painful for all concerned. I suppose the solution is to tell only those people who would be puzzled by your bizarre behavior, or anyone who has the gall to suggest that you should consider dieting, and to save the megaphones and skywriters for later in your pregnancy. Total strangers. You will be amazed at how easy it is to drop your pregnancy into absolutely any conversation or circumstance. If you are circumspect and have kept mum through the entire first trimester, you will nearly explode with the news right at the 3-month mark. That kind of secret is like rice in a pressure cooker. When it bursts, it flies everywhere. Telling people you are pregnant works like a charm when you want some special treatment, such as permission to move to the front of the line in the ladies' rooms at the movies, which is very useful if you drink large sodas with your popcorn. In the beginning, you will have to declare your condition because most people either are not too observant or are deathly afraid of congratulating you on your pregnancy, only to learn that you aren't pregnant and have simply been eating your way through the universe. In fact, you are generally well advised never to congratulate a woman on her apparent pregnancy until she shows you her positive pregnancy test, because if she is not pregnant, you automatically become the bonehead of the universe. It couldn't hurt to tell everyone from the checkout clerk to the policeman who stops you for speeding that you are in an exceptional state called pregnancy. Who knows? They might offer to bag your groceries or give you a police escort to the nearest clean public restroom. At the least, they will give you a nice smile and a few kind words. If the person you are telling has borne a child of her own, you may be in for a near ever-ending monologue about her labor and delivery. It's sad, but we really can't help ourselves. The girlfriends are unanimous in this warning regarding strangers. They will insist on rubbing your stomach, and they will never ask for your permission to do so. If you think that this is going to bother you, you might consider keeping your arms folded protectively in front of you. Don't forget, you are completely entitled to take a step back and announce the no touching rule. It's just that people feel you're not a good sport if you don't allow them to manhandle you. I didn't mind it too much when I was cutely pregnant in the second trimester. But by the end, when I was so pregnant I had corners and my belly button popped completely out like on a butterball turkey, I really hated people touching me, especially if I didn't even know them. Chapter 3. Pregnancy is a total body experience. Before I became pregnant for the first time, I naively believed that the only part of my body that would be affected would be my tummy. I took great satisfaction that I'd always been slim and active, and I knew that I would sail through pregnancy with just an adorable bump of a tummy atop my lean, athletic legs. Yeah, right. When I was pregnant from my chipmunk cheeks to my water-retaining ankles. The legs I was shaving in the shower looked and felt like those of a stranger. So round and dimply were my knees. If I allowed my arms to lie flat against my sides, they looked as wide as my thighs. Keep this in mind. Sleeveless and pregnant don't always mix. My wedding ring didn't spin on my finger anymore. And worst of all, I had cellulite so bad, it looked like I had been pelted with cottage cheese. It wasn't just me, I swear. I have a girlfriend who is a professional model. She threatened to tell one of my secrets if I told you her name. And gained so much weight in her face that I didn't recognize her in the restaurant where we were meeting for dinner, and I walked right past her. If you are like me, you have loving friends who will reassure you that your face hasn't changed at all, and that from the back, you don't even look pregnant. They will say that you look healthier and more beautiful than ever. They are lying. Sure, pregnancy is adorable, but if you think it's your best look, just wait until you get your old look back and the compliments start flowing. Few people will come up to you and say, "I really miss your bump and big booty." Let's talk about the concept of gaining weight. How much is too much and how much is too little? And what repercussions will it have on your body for the rest of your young life? I will begin by saying that if you are obese or anorexic, your weight is your own private issue, one for you and your doctor to deal with. I will also say that it should be understood that the baby's health is more important than any other consideration, and that any woman who starves herself or eats only trash foods should permanently be ostracized from the community of girlfriends, if not from the universe. That aside, let's talk about the rest of us. Those who read in some scolding and terrifying pregnancy book, whose name must not be mentioned, like Voldemort's, that the weight gain is supposed to progress something like this. 0 to 3 pounds in the first trimester, 10 to 12 pounds during the second trimester, and 8 to 10 pounds during the third trimester. If we don't match up, we live in dread of the weighing days at the doctor's office. A number of us girlfriends passed that suggested 25-pound weight gain mark at about the 7th month, just when we are really getting good and hungry. In fact, I have known to put on so much weight in the first trimester that when the nurse asks me on my first visit what my pre-pregnancy weight was, I lie and add 5 or 10 pounds so that she won't know I've already gained another 10 pounds. Pathetically, most women learn to gauge their pregnancy based on what their weight gain was for a particular doctor's appointment. If I had a visit where there was no weight increase since the last visit 3 weeks ago, I would beam with pride, relief, and self-satisfaction for days. I would call my friends to tell them how the baby was doing, then casually mention that I hadn't gained any weight. Then on those visits where I was told I had gained 7 pounds in less than a month, I would be so embarrassed and humiliated that I would cry. And I never told anyone that I had even seen the doctor, let alone been weighed. After 4 children, I have finally learned 2 lessons, one vitally important and one just useful. The important lesson is, our self-esteem issues that are tied to weight and have been since puberty are never more important than when we are pregnant. Pregnancy is a great time to learn the life lesson of surrender. This body is not for your personal enjoyment at the moment. It is a cozy home in which a child is growing, and you can choose to fight it or relax and enjoy the ride. The Girlfriend's Guide knows how hard it can be for a generation of skinny worshipers to watch themselves transform in this alarming way, because we've all felt that way, except my girlfriend Sandra, but she never got cellulite, so she shouldn't count. This is why I tell you the straight information and then sit back and laugh with you about it because your sense of humor may be the only thing to get you through these trying times. My girlfriend Jill just delivered her first baby a couple of weeks ago, and when I visited her in the hospital, she shared a great insight. No one, except her, even thought about her weight gain. They thought she looked lovely and never seemed to analyze the circumference of her knees or upper arms. She was not fat or thin. She was just pregnant. And anyone with a heart loves two things, weddings and pregnant women. The other lesson I learned, the simply useful one, is this. Stand backward on the scale when you are being weighed at the doctor's office and ask them not to tell you how much you've gained or lost. Some may cluck and look as if they're about to lecture you on body image issues, but just cut them off by saying, "There's a betting pool in my family about my total gain, and even I can't know till delivery or my husband will be disqualified." No law says you need to have that information every visit. Trust me, if the doctor looks at your chart and notices a problem, he or she will tell you soon enough. Otherwise, what difference does it really make to you? You're getting heavier. So what? Get over it. You might be as secretly gratified as I was to notice that women who are what I call professionally thin, meaning that because they are actresses, models, or performers, they have to be skinny, often really pack on the pounds during pregnancy. I'm talking 60 to 70 pounds for some of the most swelt women you've ever seen on television or in magazines. It must be the relief of not having to live on rice cakes and cigarettes for 9 months. My girlfriend Shannon, who is a gorgeous actress, started each pregnant day with eggs, bacon, and so much white toast, she would go through a loaf every other day. She just had a fabulous time. And after the baby was born, she dieted and worked out until she was thin and fit and even more beautiful than she had been before. This is precisely what the other beauties have done. And you can too. So go ahead and eat. Heck, you might as well. You can't get drunk. You can't slink around in a sexy black mini dress. You can't even take medicine when you're suffering from a cold. What other joys are there for pregnant women? Besides, society is suspicious of skinny pregnant women because we worry that the baby isn't being properly nourished. Just look at Angelina Jolie's first pregnancy and the uproar the tabloids created with her twiggy arms and legs. And that was before she moved to Namibia. The upholstered body. As any good subscriber to PMS already knows, the female body is capable of retaining up to 5 pounds of completely unnecessary, in my estimation, body fluids. The only relief is the arrival of your period. Unfortunately, when you become pregnant, that period is postponed by about 40 weeks. So even before you begin putting on actual baby weight, you might begin to grow. And you may continue to retain water until you find that your rings are too tight and you have cankles, when your calves and ankles have no line of demarcation, by the end of a long day on your feet. Your eyes may look a little bit puffy too. You would think that with all the peeing you are doing, there wouldn't be enough water in your body to make spit. But nature makes sure that no one is going to threaten your precious placental fluid and future milk factory. One girlfriend used to eat only watermelon for the entire day before her monthly visit to her obstetrician because watermelon is a natural diuretic, and she kept her water weight as low as possible for the loathsome chore of being weighed at each visit. I am not recommending this to you. But hey, a little watermelon every once in a while might help keep the puffiness manageable. My girlfriend Charlotte offers this tip for keeping some facial swelling down. Put a small block of wood, about an inch thick, under the legs at the head of the bed so that you are sleeping on a slight incline. I ran this by a doctor and he endorsed it, adding that it can also help with gastric reflux, heartburn, that bedevils many mommies-to-be. The waistline is the second, after the bust line, biggest noticeable change in early pregnancy. Especially if this is your first pregnancy and your stomach muscles have never been traumatized before. Your waistline will widen quite a few weeks before your belly starts to look rounded. If this is your second or a subsequent pregnancy, your belly will pooch out about 5 minutes after you learn you are pregnant, and in 10 minutes, you will look 5 months pregnant. Imagine a straight line from your armpit to your hips, and you will get the basic idea of what this waist widening looks like. You won't look fat or pregnant at this stage, but you probably won't be able to button your jeans all the way to the top unless they are very low rise. Skirts and fitted dresses may start to strain too. So rather than look like a before trim fast model, move into bigger sizes or looser styles as soon as you and your zipper begin to wrestle. The breasts. Your breasts will start to change almost immediately. They will get bigger, much bigger, and heavier. Those of us who were never particularly buxom look at our newly pregnant breasts, wondering if these beauties will stay this big forever. And we silently pray to God that they will. Echoing our prayers are our husbands, who now think that maybe this pregnancy business isn't so bad after all. Sandra's husband, Ray, looks forward to the arrival of what he calls the titty fairy, with the same enthusiasm most six-year-olds have for the tooth fairy. The good news about the breasts is that they will continue to grow throughout your pregnancy. That aching soreness I talked about in chapter 1 will disappear by the end of the first couple of months. You will really have yourself a nice set of knockers for a while, usually until your stomach gets so big that it dwarfs even your mammoth breasts. The most important bit of girlfriend's advice regarding pregnant breasts is wear a bra. Don't allow your ripe melons to strain their ligaments at a time like this. Pregnancy and childbirth are hard on breasts, what with all the stretching and swelling and suckling that goes on, and you should coddle them as much as possible. The bad news is that once you have finished gestating and nursing, you will be left with breasts that look like water balloons that have sprung a small leak. Not only do they not retain their pregnancy lusciousness, they are actually smaller and/or saggier than they were before you got pregnant. I know this is terrible news to give you, and you may want to insist that I do not know what I'm talking about and throw this book to the floor. But I have made it my business at every opportunity to appraise the breasts of women after they become mothers at my gym, in the communal dressing rooms, in the steam room, and I have yet to see any that truly remained unchanged after childbirth. I am so sorry your girlfriends had to be the ones to tell you, but it is better that you know it going in. Feel free to live in your disbelieving dream world now, but read this part of the girlfriend's guide again in about a year and then talk to me. Any woman who tells you that she was small-chested until after she had children and then developed a voluptuous body, such as a certain celebrity we all know, either suffers from an inability to distinguish reality from fantasy or is neglected to mention a critical bit of plastic surgery. The following rule of thumb holds true for just about every woman who has born children and yet has full and perky breasts that stand in attention without the help of underwire, whether she is a movie star or someone in your yoga class. If they are full and rounded and stand up on their own, they are not real. If you know any substantiated exceptions to this rule, do us all a favor and keep them to yourself. Anyone who assures you that after nursing your baby, your breasts will return to their pre-pregnancy loveliness either did not have nice breasts to begin with or is a La Leche League recruitment officer. Many women, including several of my girlfriends, considered not nursing their babies, and this concern about trashing their breasts was one of the reasons why. By the way, the girlfriend's guide thinks that the breast is best if it suits your temperament and lifestyle, especially if it is given up by the time the baby can unbutton your shirt herself. And one reason we are so cavalier about this, besides our belief that your body is no longer yours for the next year or so anyway, is because we are convinced that most breast deflating comes from losing the weight after pregnancy, not from nursing. The behind. You may ask yourself sometime during this pregnancy, if the baby is in my belly, why is it my butt that's growing? After a few visits to the zoo and a lot of Discovery Channel watching, I've developed my own explanation for why our hips and butts get involved in pregnancy when it doesn't really seem to be any of their business. Have you ever noticed how the chimpanzees and orangutans walk around with their babies on the back of their hips? Maybe nature intended to provide a rumble seat for our little ones, since only kangaroos and other marsupials are blessed with those handy pouches to tuck their babies in. If my theory is correct, that this fat pocket is a holdover from our caveman days, then a few more evolutionary generations of bugaboos and McLarens should eliminate this problem entirely. Then again, there is the traditional explanation that nature wants to ensure that the fetus won't starve, so it forces your body to carry around emergency food supplies in the form of fat on your hips, butt, upper arms, and let's not forget, the face. That might explain the existence of the fat, but it doesn't explain why the butt takes on the roundness of a bubble. Remember this anatomical fact when we get to chapter 10, looking the best you can, because there is nothing worse than a too short skirt hiking up over that bubble to make you look like the old Saturday Night Live family, the wide asses. Even if you don't get very fat, your backside will take on a new silhouette. Hair and nails. One last area of accelerated growth is your hair. It's as if the protein button is permanently pushed on in pregnancy. Since most pregnant women find that their hair seems longer and thicker than ever before, not only does your hair grow faster than usual, but your body is also signaling your scalp not to release old hairs as frequently as it used to. Therefore, you get more and longer hair. This is one of nature's consolation prizes. You get big as a punch buggy, but you have more lustrous hair than a shampoo model. If that was all there were to this hair business, it would be a dream come true. But there always seems to be a catch, doesn't there? The first catch is your scalp, which we will discuss shortly. Another problem is that sometimes it's not just the hair on your head that accelerates in growth. It can be the hair all over your body. Some women find their pubic hair stretching farther up their bellies and down their thighs. Others sprout a hair or two along the outline of their nipples. And some find a downy fuzz growing on their jawline and cheeks or on their backs between their shoulders. The texture of your hair and its personality will also change during pregnancy. Because of this, another cardinal rule from the Girlfriend's Guide is never get a perm when you are pregnant. Chances are good that if you do, you will find that only some of your hair grabs the perm, and that other huge portions remain straight and unaffected, leaving you looking like Napoleon Dynamite. A big dilemma for the pregnant woman is whether to continue coloring her hair during pregnancy. As opinionated as the Girlfriend's Guide can be, we will control ourselves long enough to prevent both sides. This is a decision that you must make after consultation with your doctor. Some people would no sooner put chemicals on their hair when pregnant than drink a Red Bull. They wish to protect their unborn child from as many toxic substances as possible. In a world teeming with pollution, Mont Ion, and radon, the last thing they want to do is voluntarily ingest more chemicals. There. That said, we can get on with other opinions, namely mine. Being an older mother, I was certain that my natural hair color was probably not only boring brown, but boring brown with a couple of grays. Yikes. I am not sure, because I haven't seen my natural hair color in nearly 2 decades, but it seems like a reasonable assumption. Therefore, it would take nothing short of a nuclear disaster for me to show the world my real hair. Then again, I was known to drink a Diet Coke now and then, too, so shoot me. Before you reach for that peroxide bottle, however, you should know a couple of things. First, because your hair will be growing so much faster now, you would need to color your roots more often than before. Unless you color your hair yourself at home, this will soon become expensive. If you are, like Christina Aguilera, a platinum blonde of brunette descent, you could have a stripe down the middle of your head every 2 to 3 weeks. Second, the smell of ammonia and bleach will be unbearable early in your pregnancy. After all, they're nearly unbearable when you are not pregnant. And third, you may just be too plain old tired to get to the beauty salon as often as before. These are all good reasons to change your hair to a shade that is closer to the one God gave you so that you can get away with less frequent coloring or to consider alternatives to permanent hair color, such as rinses or vegetable dyes. The last and perhaps most important rule about hair during pregnancy is this. Do not cut your hair off when you are pregnant. This advice may sound like it's out in left field right now, but trust us, there will come a time when you will consider cutting all your hair off. This is never a good idea, because a very pregnant woman who wants to cut her hair is not really looking for a new hairdo. She's looking for a new non-pregnant look, and I'm afraid that's too tall an order for a haircut. I know how simple and